Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about the Armor of God Session 5, which is the Shield of Faith. The Armor of God Session 5, the Shield of Faith. The Roman soldiers received an extensive training in their unique liner formation, which made them virtually impenetrable and impassable. And yet, one of the most memorable pieces of equipment for which they were known was their shield. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to thee, those who take refuge in him." There were two types of shield used by soldiers during this time frame. The one that the Apostle Paul was describing in Ephesians 6 was not a small round one shield, is about the size of a trash can lid that left most of the soldier's body uncovered and exposed. A larger shield, which is the second one, was typically 2 feet wide and 4 feet long, shaped almost like a door, consistent of planks of wood fused together. The wood was covered by canvas, then by leather, then iron was built into it, the center of as a hub, and also into the extreme edges of the shield from top to bottom. This made the shield able to withstand the hard hitting strokes of an enemy during a close combat. Ancient histories say that these shields were so large that they were capable of covering the whole body of a soldier when he was couched down. And so let's get into the word of God. You ready to get into the word of God? I am so ready to get into the word of God. So we're going to go into Daniel chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 7. I'm going to read down to verse 10. And this is what the word of God says. It says this. The royal administrator, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, should be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, is issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repelled. And so King Darius put the decree in writing. And so how did the Daniel demonstrate confidence in God? Let's go into verse 6. Let's go into Daniel chapter 16 so I can help you answer that question. No, I'm sorry. Still in Daniel 6, but let's go down to verse 16 to 23. And let's look how Daniel had confidence in God, even though opposition and decree was made to not worship no other God besides the king of Persia and Medes. So let's look at this. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought in place over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, said that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his place, to his palace, and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave order to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds was found on him because he had trusted in his God. He had trusted in his God, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the afflictions, regardless of the decree, regardless of what the king say, regardless of what man may say. He had trusted in his God, and he still prayed to his God. So that's how Daniel had demonstrated his confidence in God, no matter what was going on around him, no matter what trials he was going through, no matter what tribulations he was going through. He trusted in God, and he prayed to his living God regardless. And so let's keep going on. So how was it he protected as a result of his obedience? Let's look at this. Let's look at James. Let's go into James. We're going to go into James chapter 2 And I'm going to read verse 20. And the word of God says this. Well, verse 20 and 26. And the word of God says this. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deed is useless? Then verse 26 says this. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. In operative faith doesn't have power of God. We can talk about helping the poor, but until we do, our faith is inoperative. Our faith is good for nothing. Faith without works is dead, useless, and unprofitable. Faith that doesn't lead to actions is pointless and meaningless. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Our key thought is action. Faith is not talking about or thinking about or even celebrating God's truth. It is the process of adopting our behavior, our decisions, and ultimately our whole lifestyle so that it accords with what God has asked us to do without seeing the evidence that it will all work out in the end. And so even when we don't see the evidence, we still believe what God says. We still trust in what God says. We still believe in his promises. We still believe his word, regardless if nobody's not with us, regardless if we go through affliction from the enemy, regardless if we, you know, whatever we go through in life, we're going to trust what God says. Whatever our situation is, whatever our circumstances is, we're going to trust God no matter what we go through on this earth. So let's look at this. Can you move in faith into what God has asked you to do, even when you don't see the evidence? Let's go into Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The word of God says this. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so, in fact, the thing that makes faith, faith is when, like Daniel, Rahab, and the children of Israel choose to act according with the truth, despite the fact that you can't see what the outcome will be. So look at Daniel. Daniel couldn't see that God was going to move in a way, but he did what he did every day. He prayed to God 3 days a week. He worshiped his Lord. He fasted. He talked to his God, and he was with God and he believed God. So even though he didn't know if God was going to deliver him out of that lion's den, he trusted God. Rahab was a prostitute. She wasn't even in the categories of a Christianity. She wasn't even in the categories of a Jew. She was a Gentile, but she trusted. She had faith in God. She had faith in their living God. And so she got delivered from out of the prostitute, not just her, but her family too. And just look at that fact. God moves by faith and not by sight, not the way that we feel, not the way that we see naturally, not the afflictions we go through, but God said, keeps it moving. And as children of God, we got to keep it moving. And so let's keep going on. The act of faith is what becomes a shield of protection to guard against the enemy's attacks. Faith is trusting in God in all circumstances. Let me say it again. Faith in trusting in God is in all circumstances, which enables the believer to persevere and remain steadfast, loyal to God, in his word at all times. And so what causes you to not move by faith? Let's look at this. What causes you to not move by faith? The shield of faith works. I'm a living proof. The enemy knows the power of faith too. And that's why he's working overtime to keep you and I busy or to afraid to take the risk. The only way strongholds can be broken in our life is for if you push past any internal fires, refuse to let them distract you any longer and get that shield of faith in position. And so the enemy wants us to be busy, busybodies are doing stuff on this earth and on this earth and the things of the darkness. But guess what? God wants us to move by faith in the righteousness and holiness and in the ways that he wants us to go. Because remember, his thoughts is much higher than our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. And so we got to understand with God, we move by faith regardless of our circumstances. And we still trust God no matter what we go through in life. So the enemy sends flaming arrows into our life, specifically when we are being called to work in faith. Those arrows are deliberately intended to disable us from doing the only thing that has the power to extinguish them. Walking in faith, it's a demonic pattern that the enemy hopes we never catch on the devilish secrets. He hopes to keep hitting as long as he possibly can. And so the enemy wants us not to walk by faith. So he brings all kind of oppositions, all kind of afflictions against us to hope that we don't still do God's calling and do God's will or what God's called us to do. But the children of God knows with God all things are possible. So even no matter what, how hard or what trials we go through or whatever circumstances we are dealing with, guess what? Children of God will stand by faith and ask God for his help and cry out to God for his help. Lean up on him, rely upon him, and continue to do what they've been doing, regardless of the opposition of the enemy. Let's keep going on. And so he knows that if we ever push past the insecurity, our doubt, our fear that's burning in our soul, choosing instead to believe that the truth of God and walk in accordance with it, we'll have the shield of protection that will smother Satan's plan. Smother him underneath our feet, because God gives us the power and authority to trample over the devil, the scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. So we got to believe what God says. So faith causes fiery arrows to fizzle. As we must move forward, we'll sense a holy confidence swelling, a bold, courageous growing, and a hopeful anticipation rising in us, pushing back to the obstacles that once overwhelmed us. And so let's get into Luke. Let's look at the Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17, and then we're going to read verse 5 through 6. Let's see what this says. The word of God says this: the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And so good faith is rooted in good God. Let me say that again. Good faith is rooted in good God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a great God. No matter what we go through on this earth, our God is good. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the living God. He is a good God. Yes, he is a good God. We thank God that he's a good God. He's faithful when we ain't faithful. He's righteous when we ain't righteous. He's holy when we ain't holy. He's all that in a bag of chips. My God, my God. I'm ready to start preaching on here. Let's keep going on. So when the apostles requested that Jesus give them more faith, Jesus had been talking to them about the importance of forgiving those who hurt or offended them, how they should forgive not grudgingly or sprinkly, but continuously, lavishly. The disciples felt so ill-equipped to obey this task. So that's why the disciples asked the Lord to increase our faith, because they felt so equipped that they couldn't do it. And most of God's children, what God has put on us, is much greater than ourselves. And sometimes we feel like we cannot do it. But God is so faithful to help us as long as we have a faith as small as mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, that he can tell the mountains to move up out of our way, because we trust in God and we believe what he said about our life. And so the disciples felt so ill-equipped to obey this task, as we all do at one point at a time or another, that they ask for more faith to help them do it. Jesus responds to the disciples and tell him, he said in no uncertain terms that someone with even a tiny bit of faith, the size of a small seed, has enough to live a faith-filled life. And the reason is clear. A little faith is all you need when it's firmly planted in the right person. Who's the right person? The right person is God. God is our right person through Jesus Christ. That's who our right person is. It's through God. He's our right person. And so good faith isn't a certain size or strength. It's simply faith that's directed at the rooted in a good God. So as children of God, we got to be rooted in God. We got to be rooted in his word, so we can stand when the storms are hitting us. We can stand when the enemy's attacking us. We can stand in our situation and believe what God says. Be still and know that I am God. God can do anything regardless of what's going on around us. So let's keep it as I get ready to close up. And so fear is one of the enemy's most useful deterrents to the faith-filled living. Fear will make you want to drop your shield and run away. In fact, fear is one of Satan's primary schemes of crippling and paralyzing God's people. This issue of fear is so well known and important to God that more than 300 times in the scriptures it say, do not fear. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the word of God says this. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so our God is true and worth following. He is always there for outranking Satan in strength. To hear our trouble prayers, reaffirm his fearless promises, and deliver the next bit of blimp light we need for walking steadily in the direction. Shield up, soldiers. Shield up, shoulders, soldiers. Shield up, soldiers. We are walking by faith and not by sight. So when the enemy come in like a flood, we can stand still with our shield on, with faith in our Lord, and know that he's fighting our battles regardless if we do not see it. Let us keep worshiping the Lord. Let us keep digging in his word. Let us keep conquering. Let us keep overcoming our obstacles and trust our God through it all. Every circumstance, trust our God, because he can deliver us out of our situation. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. He is our resurrection. He is the living God. And let us put our trust in him. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.